Welcome back to the deep dive. Look, if you've been keeping an eye on AI lately, you know we're way past just theories, right? We're really smack in the middle of it actually happening. Industrial scale, we're talking gigawatts, billions of dollars.
That's exactly it. That's the thread running through everything we've looked at today. I mean, the sources are showing these huge, immediate infrastructure plays shaping business, policy, everything from giant data centers popping up to how we verify news in a crisis. It's real-world stuff now.
Totally. So our job today is basically to cut through all that noise, find the key nuggets for you. We're going to hit three main areas. First, just the absolutely crazy scale of investment, this whole gigawatt economy. Second, the speed of new models and hardware breakthroughs. And third, the policy and safety arguments trying to catch up. Okay, let's dig in. Right, so scale. You really have to start with OpenAI Stargate. I mean, this isn't just some blueprint anymore. It's a massive push right now involving Oracle, SoftBank. What are the actual details? What's being built?
The scale is just, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. OpenAI and its partners, they're planning five huge new AI data centers across the U.S. You've got Oracle building three down in Texas and New Mexico, big energy areas, makes sense. And then SoftBank's handling two others, one in Ohio, one in Texas, too.
Okay, five centers. And what does that translate to power-wise?
Well, this expansion pushes the total planned capacity for Stargate towards 7 gigawatts.
7 gigawatts.
Yeah, just to give you some context, that's enough juice to power like over 5 million American homes continuously. And the cash behind it, they've deployed $400 billion over the next 3 years. They're gunning for that initial target, 10 gigawatts, $500 billion, fast.
That 7 gigawatt number. It's staggering. This stops being just a tech story and becomes, well, a national infrastructure thing, doesn't it? Doesn't that put a massive strain on power grids? Doesn't it tie AI's future directly to energy policy?
Oh, absolutely. The sources are clear on this. Utility companies, regional grids, they're basically being forced to fast-track everything. Grid upgrades, buying more green energy, even building new power plants. Just to keep up with these centers, 7 gigawatts isn't a request, it's a demand. It means fundamentally rethinking energy in those areas.
And Sam Altman, he's defending this, right? Defending this huge spend with this almost utopian argument that limited compute makes us choose between like curing cancer or universal AI education. Isn't that a bit classic Silicon Valley speak? Is it really masking a capital grab, or are those choices actually exclusive? What do the sources
Yeah,
suggest?
that's the critical question, isn't it? The sources kind of frame his argument as, well, partly philosophical, but definitely strategic. He's basically saying, look, remove the compute limit, and you don't have to make those tough zero-sum choices. His whole ambition, that factory producing a gigawatt of AI infrastructure per week, it turns the philosophy into just engineering and money. He wants to be able to just do all the moonshots at once.
Okay, but let's look at the money flow for Stargate. It really seems like Nvidia is sitting pretty here, doesn't it?
It's fascinating, actually, the way the money loops around. Basically guarantees Nvidia wins, cementing their dominance. They just announced, what, a $100 billion investment in OpenAI infrastructure? But then, and this is the key part, OpenAI has that massive $300 billion compute contract with Oracle. And Oracle, remember, already had a huge $40 billion deal to buy Nvidia's top chips.
Okay. So Nvidia invests in OpenAI. OpenAI needs compute from Oracle. Oracle needs chips from Nvidia. It feeds itself.
Exactly. So you have to ask, is it really an investment in like pure innovation? Or is it more like a guaranteed purchase order dressed up as an investment? The fact is, Stargate's core relies on Nvidia tech already, that Vera Rubin platform for the first gigawatt. It definitely steers OpenAI towards Nvidia hardware, maybe away from others like AMD or even building their own.
And it's not just happening here. This is global. The Middle East, particularly the UAE, seems to be making a really targeted play.
Absolutely. The race is global and it's shifting too. It's not just about large language models anymore. It's moving towards physical AI. Nvidia's partnered with Abu Dhabi's Technology Innovation Institute, TII, that's a big government research group, to launch the first AI and robotics lab in the Middle East.
Interesting. What's the focus there?
Really heavily focused on next-gen robots. Think humanoids, quadrupeds, robotic arms, all powered by Nvidia chips like their Thor platform. This push into physical AI, it's part of this bigger national strategy for the UAE. They've stated they want to be the world's first AI native government by 2027. So yeah, the hardware race is directly feeding national ambitions now.
Okay, we talked about the massive power needed, megawatts. Now let's zoom way down, like millimeter scale. All that power density creates so much heat, right? The whole melting GPU problem. But Microsoft is claiming, kind of surprisingly, that they've cracked it.
Yeah, this sounds like a genuinely impressive bit of engineering. Microsoft says they've got this new microfluidic system designed by AI, no less. So instead of just slapping a cold plate on top of the chip, they're actually pumping liquid coolant directly to the chip through these tiny AI-designed channels etched right onto the back of the silicon itself.
Whoa, so it's like giving the chip its own internal plumbing, a tiny radiator inside the silicon to stop it from overheating.
That's a pretty good way to put it, like an internal cooling system. And the results, they claim, are huge. A 65% drop in the maximum silicon temperature rise. That efficiency boost means, well, you can push the chips harder, overclock them safely, and you can pack servers much closer together, higher density without things melting down. They might actually be getting past a real physical limit here.
Speaking of speed, let's shift to the models themselves. You know, you see Google, OpenAI, they tend to favor these slower, more controlled releases. But Alibaba, they seem to be doing the complete opposite, like a model blitz, right? Just dropping a whole bunch of Qwen 3 variants at once.
Yeah, it's a really different tactic. It sort of challenges that whole idea that you need one giant, super expensive frontier model to do everything. Alibaba just dropped six new Qwen 3 models: text, vision, audio, safety, covering all the bases.
And what stood out from that release? Any highlights?
Well, the sources point to a couple of things. First, yeah, there's the big one, the 1T parameter Qwen Max, supposedly near frontier on complex stuff like coding, agent tasks. But maybe more interesting is the specialization. They put out a heavy version that's just laser-focused on math reasoning, got perfect scores on some math benchmarks.
Okay, so why does that rapid pace and that kind of specialization matter to everyone else?
Well, because it kind of chips away at the need for one giant model for every single task. I mean, if you can get a super efficient model that's perfect just for math, why pay the massive compute costs for a generalist model that might mess it up? This strategy just floods the market with these targeted, efficient options. Makes it tougher for the big Western players to rely solely on their one flagship model to dominate everything.
Right. So if you've got all these models coming out, how do you actually figure out which one works best? Not just on some academic test, but like in the real world.
That's where benchmarking is changing too. Scale AI just launched something called Seal Showdown. It's meant to challenge the current standard, Elmarina. What they do is they tap into this huge global network of contributors, like 100 countries, 70 languages, using an app for people to just vote side by side on model outputs. Real people, real preferences.
Okay, this is the key bit for you, the listener. What makes Seal Showdown different from the leaderboards everyone usually looks at?
It's the segmentation. That's the crucial part for actually using these things. Standard benchmarks often miss, you know, who was actually using the model. Like if you're building a chatbot for global customer service, you don't necessarily care how it scores with U.S. college kids. You need to know how it performs for, say, users over 45 in France or Brazil. Seal Showdown gives you that breakdown by demographics, age, education, language. That lets companies stop chasing high scores and benchmarks that don't matter for their users and start optimizing for what actually works for their specific audience.
Okay, so the tech is moving incredibly fast, engineering hurdles are falling, but that speed creates friction, right? Heat in the chips, like we said, but also heat in the political world. Let's talk about the policy fight. With all this money pouring in, this rapid change, big tech is obviously pushing back hard against potential regulation.
Yeah, we're seeing a really big direct response. The sources mentioned Meta launching this national super PAC, the American Technology Excellence Project. And they're planning to pump tens of millions of dollars into this nationally.
And that money's aimed squarely at fighting what they call onerous AI rules, reacting to what, over 1,000 state-level AI bills this year alone?
That's exactly it. Their stated goal, anyway, is to back pro-AI candidates, state-level, both parties. The message is all about, you know, protecting U.S. tech leadership, especially against China. It really shows the regulatory battle isn't just a D.C. thing anymore. It's happening in state houses everywhere.
So while the politicians argue, the creative tools just keep getting better. Google's got something new, Mixboard, an app for creatives.
Yeah, Mixboard looks pretty neat. It's designed to whip up AI-powered mood boards just from text prompts. And the key thing is, it uses Google's new Nano Banana image editing model. Nano Banana is apparently really good at the tricky stuff in painting, tweaking details, refining the images AI generates. So you can kind of iterate on ideas really quickly without needing a huge library of existing photos.
Okay, that actually gives us a good practical tip for you listening. Say you want to create one of those hyper-realistic animated miniatures you see online. What's the easiest way using these tools?
You'd probably combine them. So first, You'd use a really detailed text prompt in Gemini, make sure Nano Banana is switched on, to generate your perfect static scene, like hyper-detailed 17-scale figurine on a messy workbench.
Right.
Once you nail that static image, you take it over to something like Luma Dream Machine to animate it. But the trick is being super specific in your animation prompt. Describe the camera moves, low-angle dolly shot, slow zoom in, and exactly how the figurine should move. That specificity gets you the realism.
Right, that prompt detail is everything for quality output. Okay, shifting gears slightly but still crucial. Paying the people whose content fuels these models. Microsoft seems to be trying a systemic fix for publishers, right?
They are. They're piloting this thing called the Publisher Content Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to pay publishers directly and sort of continuously when their content gets used by AI tools like Copilot.
How is that different from what others are doing?
Well, most of the competitors, like OpenAI, seem focused on striking these big one-off licensing deals with major news outlets, huge lump sums. Microsoft's platform sounds more like it's built for ongoing, maybe smaller transactional payments, like a dynamic system. And, you know, the timing is interesting because Microsoft is right in the middle of that big copyright lawsuit with the New York Times. So finding a scalable, transparent way to pay seems pretty urgent for them.
Okay, finally, we really need to touch on a critical safety point. What happens when AI speed hits real-time breaking news, the whole dynamic of crisis reporting?
Yeah, this is a huge worry. The sources really hammer this point. In chaotic situations, they used the Dallas ICE facility shooting as an example. Those algorithm news feeds, they prioritize speed, velocity over verification, which means, you know, unverified stuff, misleading clips, they can just explode and reach millions almost instantly.
So if you're trying to follow a crisis unfolding online, how do you fight that? How does using OSINT open source intelligence help?
It really takes discipline. Basic OSINT verification means doing things like checking timestamps on videos, trying to geolocate where a photo or video was actually taken from, confirming the vantage point. And crucially, before you believe something or share it, you really need to see at least two independent, credible sources reporting the exact same specific fact.
And the risk if we don't do that, if we just react to the first thing we see.
The danger is that AI-doctored images, or even just videos with wrong captions, can spread so fast they basically become the narrative in that initial chaos.
Yeah.
And once that narrative sets, trying to correct it later with facts is incredibly difficult. Fast definitely doesn't equal true, especially when AI is in the mix. Hashtag outro.
Wow, okay. We covered a lot of ground today. I mean, from those five huge data centers driving Stargate's 7-gigawatt ambition to Microsoft's clever chip cooling solution, Alibaba's model blitz strategy, and that multi-million-dollar fight Meta's waging over state regulations.
It really all comes back to that theme of unprecedented scale and, honestly, conviction. The amount of money we talked about, $400 billion just being deployed now for infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's the core story. Every major player is betting huge on this build it and they will come idea for AI compute power.
Which brings us right to our final thought for you to maybe chew on. We saw that MIT report from August mentioned in the sources, right? Finding only, what, 5% of AI pilot projects actually lead to quick revenue growth. So considering these absolutely astronomical bets, that $500 billion Stargate project, how long can these companies keep pouring money in at this rate before the market starts demanding real, widespread, provable returns on all that infrastructure? The engineering hurdles seem to be falling, but that adoption, that profitability challenge, that feels like the next big wave.
Definitely something to think about as you watch the kilowatts hopefully turn into actual capabilities,
yeah.
Not just, you know, expensive empty racks.
We'll catch you in the next deep dive.